Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, 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 all you beautiful people. Jeremy here, all by my lonesome here in Halifax. Well, not by my lonesome. I've got Bigby down by my feet here, acting as my living, breathing ottoman. But Bridie is now in Mexico. She has crossed the border a few days ago, and we had a really, really lovely time in LA. Last week's episode, we recorded basically as soon as I arrived, and we ended up having a few days to hang out in the city of Los Angeles. It was really nice to see Bridie and Todd and of course Rose, the pup, and to get some quality kind of family time in. We explored Venice Beach. We explored some of the West Hollywood area. We went to see some comedy. I got to see Neil Brennan, who is like one of my favorite comics of all time. I met Stone Cold Steve Austin in an alleyway while he was picking up his dog shit. It really was a magical time. And what was even more magical than all of that was the incredible conversations that we were able to have while we were on the road. I think we recorded a total of 9 episodes, one of which is going to be a two-parter that's coming in a couple of weeks. But they were really fantastic, eye-opening, really like reflective conversations. I feel like I learned quite a bit on that trip with some of the people that we had a chance to meet. So because Bridie and I are not together, and because where she is in Mexico, she has no ability. Well, she's off grid completely. So I really don't know when I'm going to get to speak with her again. We're gonna miss out on a couple of foreplay sessions that you are all used to. But fret not, because like I said, the conversations that we are going to dive into over the next 7 or 8 weeks are really, really fucking stellar. So I'm gonna maybe make a little intro here and there throughout the coming weeks, but for the most part, it'll just be the episodes that we recorded. For all of you who have been along on this journey with us and have, you know, showed your support, thank you all so much. This is really, this podcast still very much is a labor of love, and we will continue to nourish it and rear it like it is our child, because technically it's the closest thing we'll ever have to a child. So thank you all so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode, our very first guest from Los Angeles, a Toronto native, but living in LA, living her best life. So I hope you enjoy our conversation with Annabelle.
Latest thing is, like, where can I get my massage certification in, like, less than 18 months? Because that's the shortest program you can do in Canada, or at least in Nova Scotia. And maybe I need to go to Thailand and live there for a year and go to massage school.
You're thinking about becoming an RMT?
I just need some other shit that I can do on the road.
Right.
I'm trying to move my life off the computer as much as possible. And I'm a huge anatomy geek, and like the epitome, I think, for me would be like becoming eventually like going into osteopathy. But I don't know that for sure. You need some sort of, you need like a certain particular already level of education before you can go into osteopathy. But I don't know. I just feel like it's the kind of thing where, you know, I can park my, I'm living in a van right now. I can park my van on like the beach in anywhere and like put a sign out that's like $25 massages or whatever, you know, and just like make some fucking change on the road. Not that I would work illegally in the United States. I certainly wouldn't.
Hey, better not be saying that on a podcast.
But
that
in
gets
Mexico
listened to.
Or, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a little easier to travel when you have a way to make some change in a pinch.
Sorry, yeah. Annabelle, I was kind of like distracted there, trying to finagle with the sound shit. But you're studying creative writing?
Yes.
Sweet. Yes. Here in LA.
In LA, at an art school.
At
so
an
it's
art
like
school.
Embedded in. Usually, creative writing programs are in like English departments,
right?
Or kind of, or it's more like journalism,
right?
But this is actually in an art school, and it's an MFA.
That's
sweet.
Rad.
So, that's awesome.
It's really cool.
We kind of, we had a creative writing element to our training at Ryerson.
To our fine arts.
Yeah,
Ryerson. What did you guys do at Ryerson?
Theater. We were in the acting program.
Okay, yeah.
At theater school.
Did you do like screenwriting or something?
We didn't get into, because it was mostly theater.
Or like writing for
the theater.
Yeah.
Creative writing in terms of like create your own production. Ryerson was very much like, if you want to work consistently as an actor, you're gonna have to make your own work.
Yeah,
because it's super competitive out there.
Yeah,
there's also not
Sheldon Rosen was our professor,
our creative writing teacher.
I dropped his name earlier, but he was amazing.
He was a playwright. Cool. He's a playwright.
Yeah,
American expat living in Canada.
That's right.
And he's written a bunch of several plays, but he was a good creative writing teacher for sure.
He was great.
Cool. He taught the actors and the dancers, and so we all we were divided into little groups, and we always had to like write our own performance pieces and perform them for the class, and it was a really cool exercise.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite, like some of my favorite memories from school. I know that when we were talking about like stuff that we would potentially broach, you know, subject wise on the show, you had sort of jotted down sexualization and like the writing / creativity process.
Yeah.
Have you found that the theme of sex is like something that's kind of common in the work that you're, that you tackle, or?
Yeah, I think I've had different phases with writing and creativity and where I'm interested in going with it. I had a phase where I was publishing a lot of kind of longer form essays online.
Yeah.
And sharing a lot through Instagram, like in my captions, and writing kind of these very personal, what's the word I'm looking for? Like kind of
reflections.
Yeah. These sort of like expository, rants, really.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I was really interested in different aspects of vulnerability at the time. And I remember one of the very first things I published was this essay about getting an STD and the shame around that, and my experience with the nurses and the doctors, and kind of this sort of nightmarish thing at the time of being exposed to such a direct level of shaming in a really sort of like vulnerable moment.
Like so, from your healthcare providers specifically?
Yeah, I was in, I was like in the hospital. I ended up in the ER.
From your STD?
So I ended up getting pelvic inflammatory disease, which is like PID.
PID. I've never PID sounds so fun though. It's so, so cute. PID.
It's not cute.
Oh, I got a bad case of PID. Ah, my PID.
It was just like that, wasn't it?
It was just like that.
Ah, my PID's acting up. Sorry. So
is PID not cute?
It's really not cute.
When you word it like pelvic inflammatory disease.
Disease.
Is PID a STI? STD?
So it's kind of, my understanding is it's the complication from untreated gonorrhea or chlamydia. It's basically why, how it's described to me, it's like, it's basically why women don't want to get chlamydia or gonorrhea, because it can lead to infertility and like all of these things if it goes untreated.
Right.
And a lot of people don't have very strong symptoms until it's quite progressed.
Like someone could have gonorrhea or not realize.
Yeah, so they could be getting pelvic inflammatory disease, which is basically like a buildup of fluid in your fallopian tubes.
Oh.
And it can lead to all this like scarring and all these kind of
Yowza.
Fucked up things. But a lot of people will have that happening and they won't experience any sort of like pain or sensation. I felt like I was being stabbed.
You felt it.
Right.
Yeah. Really early on too, but I had no idea that I had an STD or anything.
Yeah.
And I went to the ER because my like pelvic pain was so bad. And it was just like building and building.
And then they were like,
What was the scrutiny from your health team?
So at the time I was, I mean, she was just asking me about recent partners and how many partners I was with currently, and I said that I was just with one, and I forget exactly what she said, but she kind of insinuated that like she didn't believe me.
Mm. Oh wow.
As if, and it has anything to do with promiscuity anyway.
Yeah. And it was kind of just this weird exchange of her being like, okay, yeah, but you're clearly this like young, promiscuous, irresponsible person. Like, so, how could you not know that? Like,
give up the goods. Like, you're not telling me.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah. I just felt very. It didn't feel like a very like safe.
Yeah.
Environment. And meanwhile, I was so freaked out and being told all these things of like, you might end up infertile, and like, we don't know if you're going to be able to heal from this and all these things. And my mother was like standing on the other side of the curtain.
Okay.
And they were asking me all this stuff about my like history, and I don't have that kind of like open relationship with my mother. And then opening the curtain, and she just like walked away, and then I wouldn't even talk about it.
Was this was in Toronto?
This was in Toronto.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
What is like what is hospital? I had I mean, not similar, but not dissimilar sort of experience when I went to go get just simply tested for STDs. And it was like a walk-in clinic, and the doctor was like, "Why are you getting tested?" And I was like,
"Oh, because I have sex."
Yeah,
because
I'm having, I'm fucking. Like, what do you mean, why? And she goes, "Well, are you using protection?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, but I'm having sex with multiple people because I'm in an open relationship." And she was like, she like scoffed and rolled her eyes, and I was like, oh, I almost got real lippy with her.
Yeah,
like I almost was like, "Hey, shut up and do your job. Like, just give me the fucking cup and let me piss and get out of here." Like, I was so annoyed and so shocked that, like, that is a, that would be a, like, remotely, that someone would think that that's an okay response to someone coming in to, like, take care of their own health. Mm-hmm. And so, like, to hear, you know, going in with PID, and for them to like, for them to question you, yet not take what you say at face value, like that just to me blows my fucking mind.
It's weird when they make you feel like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like I was doing something completely wrong and that there was something wrong with me. And then there was the whole thing with my mother and I was like being told all these terrifying things.
And that's when
I was like 21 at the time, so I was like, it was just bad.
How old are you now?
All around 26.
And so what was the, this is kind of like toppling into like sick boy territory, but what was the outcome there? Like, what's the recovery process? What happened to you physically after that experience?
Yeah, I was on a whole bunch of antibiotics, and then I was also seeing a naturopathic doctor alongside that, and she gave me a bunch of different things to kind of help prevent scarring, which I understood to be kind of the things that I didn't want to have happen. So yeah, I was like taking a whole bunch of stuff, and then I had to get another, you have to get like an ultrasound, and then I was okay. I think I got an ultrasound like a few months later.
So you
just to make sure everything was clear.
You were in the clear afterwards.
And I was okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Because
good.
It was caught relatively early.
Right.
And treated.
Now, when you came out on Instagram, coming back to the writing and expressing this and being open about the experience, because I don't know how long I've been following your Instagram, but I've seen these posts and they are very like, very personal and very like, raw and like vulnerable posts that that are quite lengthy and like you're exposing a lot of your personal self and personal life. Did you face any sort of like backlash from that side of things, or was that like a really positive experience for you in terms of sharing yourself openly like that?
I mean, I think that particular time was quite neutral. I didn't really feel like it was necessarily positive, or I didn't get any really harsh backlash. I mean, there were some people who were like, why on earth would you tell people this? But at the time I was writing a lot of these really long form things that went into like details about what was going on with me. And I realized that I was interested in talking about sexuality and relationships because it's something that people so often, like, they'll talk about everything but.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't think I write in the same way. I think what I'm writing now is completely different. Now it's more, the project I'm working on in grad school is about identity, and it's a poetry collection. So very different. But in the space between when I was writing those essays and now, I wrote a lot about relationships I was having and experiences I was in. And the most interesting kind of backlash I would get would be from people that I was in relationship with. Even though I would never share explicit details about anyone in particular, it was more so because I was writing in a personal and raw way. It kind of put other people on edge. So it was an interesting kind of thing to navigate, and still kind of navigating it in a way of like, how do you write about sexuality or relationships without kind of stepping on anyone else's boundaries or privacy and like respecting everyone. And
it's a big topic with like memoir writing,
mm-hmm.
and like, yeah. getting permission to use people's stories and
yeah,
stuff like that.
But you even experienced some of that, Bride, with this project, right? Like, to a degree, with you and your current like relationship.
Oh yeah, it is. You know? It's a dance. It's a bit of a dance in my relationship with Todd, because, you know, everyone's entitled to their own privacy, and like, mm-hmm. not everybody wants their life on blast. And for a minute, like, when, you know, you get into a new relationship, if you're someone who broadcasts weekly about your sex life,
yeah.
then you're like, well, this is what I do. Our relationship, his and my relationship, started at the same time as this podcast. Yeah. So it was a bit tricky, but yeah, there's like this dance of like how to be respectful, but still use your voice and your self-expression yeah. to tell your story. Cause I think, I'm sure you're experiencing more positive feedback than backlash on people being like, thank you, I thought I was alone, which is mm-hmm. what we get all the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the benefits kind of outweigh somebody's momentary hurt feelings.
Yeah.
But I, yeah. I guess we're in the States, so there's all sorts of legal ramifications as well for putting information out there that might be slanderous, like so-and-so gave me an STI or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if you can sue someone for that or not.
I don't know how it works down here.
No idea.
I just, every time I cross the border, I'm like,
I'm going to get sued.
Yeah. Be very careful.
We're going straight to Sioux City. God.
Right. So creative writing, and where else has that taken you aside from this particular topic?
You mean what in my writing?
Yeah, like what are you digging into with your with this sexualization in your creative writing?
I think, I mean, it's something that I'm not even necessarily in my writing. I mean, I've been very interested in photography since I took my first class when I was like 16 or okay. so. And I'm very interested in self-portraits. And
are most of the photos on your Instagram self
yeah.
taken?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Really?
Yeah.
The whole time I was like, man, who's Annabelle? Like, I gotta
who's her paparazzi?
I gotta get like Annabelle's friends to like take my photo. Holy shit.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
Never mind. Yeah.
Are we going to uh-huh. be able to,
that's really fantastic.
Like share your Instagram handle
sure,
with folks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is it?
It's my first name and my middle name. It's Annabelle Blythe.
Okay, to the top one.
Yeah, they're wow. really like lovely photos.
They're
That's
gorgeous.
Why when we first were talking earlier, I was like, mm-hmm. It must be, we must have like mutual friends and a photographer, because I was like, you must like,
yeah,
who because there's someone taking all those photos, but it's just you.
Do you do it?
You're like, I don't know any photographers.
Do you set it up like, this is my curiosity. Do you set yeah. it up and like take videos and then screenshot the best shots from the videos? That's what I would do.
I've done that a few. So usually what I'll do is I'll like prop my iPhone up somehow, and then I'll take a video and then move around, do whatever, and then look at the video to see what the best shot is, and yeah. then I'll put it on a timer, and then I'll take a still photo.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Because
mm-hmm. usually okay. the screenshots
degrade the value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look quite as good.
Not the value. What am I doing? Yeah. Quality.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's been interesting. I mean, it's not like I have some massive social media following or anything, but it's been fascinating to see people's reactions to those photos, because it's not even that I intend to be naked in a lot of them, but I just end up naked in a lot of them because I'm really interested in like shape and bodies and
and you're taking the photos at home and it's like, who fucking wears clothes at home? You know, you're taking them alone, you're at home, there's no point for having clothes on anyway.
Exactly. So it always kind of ends up like this, and it's interesting to see how people respond to them. I mean, even in conversations, like when people, I don't like giving out my Instagram to people. I'm kind of almost like shy about it. Like when people are exchanging it, I'm like,
you just kind of gave avoid it.
7,000 people.
I just gave it out to a bunch.
Yeah, you just gave it out to a stadium full of people. No big deal.
I'm a bit shy.
But I mean, like when I meet someone for the first time, it's like, I don't like for them to kind of read my writing or see those photos and then kind of have an, I don't know, I just feel like there are a lot of like assumptions,
like a preconceived notion based off of the shit that
after
read.
We met for like 30 seconds
but
then when I see people that I know that start following me and then I see them like again another time and then kind of they always want to like bring it up in some sort of funny way, and it's interesting to just,
the nudity?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, and the writing as well. If
right.
people aren't super familiar with my writing at all. So it's kind of interesting just to see how people perceive it, because I'm not consciously like, oh, I'm going to take these sexy photos now. Like, I'm just taking these photos because it's what interests me. But then I'm also hyper aware that it's perceived as sexual by a lot of people.
Right.
And like some sort of exhibitionism.
Like thirst trap type shit.
Exactly.
That's what the kids are calling it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 2 weeks ago, I would have had to Google that.
Oh, yeah. Babe, I might be 32, but I'm fucking, I got the mind of a 13-year-old.
Thirst trap.
Thirst trap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your art. It's your expression. It's your self-expression.
Yeah.
It's
your, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm always kind of interested in what people perceive as sexual and what people
right.
perceive as something else. Mm-hmm. And I mean, multiple people will look at the same thing and have a totally different experience, of course. But it's interesting when you're putting pictures of your naked body on the internet.
Right. Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Has it come into play at all in your dating life?
How so?
Or like, because you say like you meet someone and you're hesitant to like give out
mm-hmm.
your
yeah.
your, you know, like your online presence.
Yeah.
But like, have you, cause like the other day I was at the, I mean, Halifax is a fucking small city, but I was at the bar and I was playing pool with my friend Kyle, and we were waiting for the table to come available. And there was two women playing a game before us. And so we kind of like, they lost and we were up. So I took the pool cue from her and I was like, thank you. And then she was kind of like hanging around and while me and Kyle were setting up to play and her and I struck up a conversation. I was a little high on mushrooms, I think. So I was like, I was in this state where I was like, I like to pretend I'm someone I'm not in that mode. And so I was like, and I was on a roll. I was on a tear already with like my friends. I was like telling a bunch of really funny lies. Little fun game that I like to play, just lying to people. and so she was asking me these questions and I was like, I was just saying just really absurd things that just are not true at all for my own entertainment. And I could tell that she could tell that I was not being fully transparent. And
I would have been so fucking annoyed.
Oh, she,
if I had been picking up on that, I'd be like, dude, put your Peter Pan hat on and sprinkle your fairy dust and get the fuck out of my face.
This person was wanting to talk to me. And then so I was trying to make them laugh. And we ended up having like a nice long kind of conversation throughout the game. And then the game was over and I had to return to the birthday party I was at. So I was like, okay, well, nice to meet you. Take care. Bye. And I left. The next day, this person had added me on Instagram, liked a bunch of my photos. And I had a thought, like, there was some effort there. Like that person had to find me. That person had to like maybe ask some people at the bar or like,
what's Peter Pan's real name?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And in my head, I was just like, that's such an interesting thing. Like this person saw me, they were like, all right, I'm going to do some digging to like find them. And then I'm going to make it known that I found them. So, which bringing that back to the question I asked you, it's like you meet someone, you're maybe hesitant to give out your information, but like, have you ever had somebody who might be like courting you to, now I'm showing my age.
It's like one of my favorite terms, actually.
Courting? I love courting.
Oh,
it's great. Great. It's so good.
It's a good one.
Kind of like search you out and then find you that way. Mm-hmm. Like has that been like a positive experience, a negative experience?
I feel like it's not, again, it's one of those things, it's not really positive or negative, but I'm like hyper aware that it's happening. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as someone who is interested in me or I'm interested in them, they start following me on Instagram, I'm like, oh, now you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe you didn't know before, but like now you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of this thing. I was actually making a joke with someone I just started seeing recently who said that they were telling someone that they know in their life about me, and this person looked me up on Instagram, like through finding them. They didn't like send them my Instagram, but they found me. And I like made a joke and I was like, oh, so like they've seen my bat, like what do they think? But it's kind of, I like to joke about it because I like to kind of take the weight out of it. But then I'm also very aware, like there are people who follow me who won't like any of the photos where you can like see my whole body. But then they'll like ones in my face.
I see this a lot because I've been following a lot of like van life stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of van life photos with like half naked women in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like people in the comments will be like, why do you have to show all that skin? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm here to look at vans. But and people are like, it's just like,
I like my van skinless. God damn it.
It feels kind of trolly. It's like, why leave? Yeah. I mean, you know what? Don't lecture me on how or how I may not use my body in my photos for whatever purpose I want. Do you feel like your creative writing and your photography and Instagram are like part of your, I guess like your artwork or your career, or like, what do you feel like you're building, like a body of work creatively? I'm just wondering if you see it more of as like a less of like, this is my Instagram and I come here for news, and or is it like basically more of a project?
It feels like a project. Mm-hmm. It feels like a project that I'm not sure what I want to do with yet, but it feels like I've gone through different phases with Instagram of posting all the time and posting in different ways, and now it's like I post quite intentionally when I feel like there's something that I've created that I want to share, whether it's a photo or a piece of writing, or both. But yeah, I can't exactly say like where it's going, but I see it as something that's like taking shape, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Your Instagram definitely has like a, there's like a presence to it. Whereas, you know, it's unlike, I think of like my dad's Instagram and I'm just like, you know, it's just like,
random.
Yeah, a picture of the cat, and you know, and then like my dad's Honest Skidoo and some other fucking random shit that
it's like pictures from my life, just, which is what a lot of people use it for.
Yeah. Whereas like I don't. That I rarely do that. In fact, I'm kind of in the same boat where it's like I'm gonna put something up more often than not to say something.
Or
the just like straight thirst trap pics of my butt.
Yeah. So what? Okay, so basically,
no one wants to see that little flat Jeremy butt.
Your butt is on the Instagram, right, with your tattoo on it?
Somewhere, probably.
Times, yeah. I don't mean to sound like at all ageist about this, but I don't want to say too young or not old enough to have like thought about this, but you, before the mics came on, we were talking about traveling all around to school, and like you've traveled quite a bit, and you studied psychology, and now you're studying creative writing at an art school. And, you know, one of the big questions I always have for myself is like, what the fuck is this trajectory? Mm-hmm. What is the through line here? And now I'm 36. Or 35, I can't remember. Soon
36,
to be.
It's almost
my birthday.
Yeah.
Is like now, only now can I look back and go, oh, this has been a theme. Everything that I'm doing is actually connected to one or two threads that have run my through my whole life.
Yeah.
So have you sensed like not knowing where you're going necessarily with this project? What's your experience like that with that sort of uncovering of your purpose or direction? Go.
I think about this all the time because I feel like there are people who have such a clear, like, single focused mission, and then there are people who are sort of like all over the place, and I feel like their mission is about finding that thread, but letting themselves getting like pushed all over the place. And I've very much been all over the place and done all sorts of different things. And I mean, even in between studying psychology and being here, I was teaching yoga, and then I was studying meditation, and then I was like bartending, and then I worked in kind of like the life coaching space, and then I was just really sort of all over the map. But I realized what kind of like draws me back again and again, and I noticed this particularly in my creativity, is being the most like fully expressed version of myself is really important to me.
Here.
In whatever I do, and how that expression comes out, it's been like pulled out of me in different ways at different points in my life, but I feel like expression is a thread. And then also I don't know if embodiment is really the word, but I'm really interested in like how can we most fully inhabit our lives.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I love that.
And I feel like that comes out in different ways, but they're all sort of these sort of floaty things that don't feel super tied to me, but they're, it's sort of like these little beacons or things that I'm always kind of reaching towards, if that makes sense at all.
I think it does. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me in terms of, like, it sounds like you are wide open to following your curiosity and seeing where it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said, like, all over the map, I just thought, my thought was, like, all over your map.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. there's certain things that I can identify that I'm like, I'm definitely not ever going to engineering school. Like, that is just, like, I don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Because I used to
It'd be really weird if you were worrying about that, though.
Yeah. You know? But, like, what if I'm missing a huge... Yeah. What if I'm really good at engineering?
Yeah. Yeah, you know? But... Yeah, and yeah.
But that's... I don't worry about that.
Right.
But there are some things I'm like, well, you know, like, maybe my curiosity will get me in that direction at some point. Mm-hmm. But, like, but I also have concern of, like, getting lost in one thing, because I do like to dig deeply. Like, this is my experience with film, is like, okay, I've been doing it now for 2 years and I feel like I'm at a crossroads where it's like, I can go further into this. It's not the healthiest lifestyle for me. So if I go in, if I'm going in wholeheartedly, if I'm really going to do this, it's probably going to feel really unhealthy for a stretch of time and, like, maybe unproductive, and I'm going to have to put away some other things that I'm doing because I can't spread myself that thin anymore. Or I'm going to go, okay, film, as much as I hate to feel like I'm falling behind in something that I'm interested in, I might have to put you on the back burner and see if I come back in, like, a couple of years or 5 years. Maybe I'll be led back into this. But I'm at this crossroads right now where I'm like, I got to either be all in or just set it on the back burner for a sec.
Mm.
Sorry, I just made that all about me. But I think that's a really important, like, it's something that I hope more people can connect to, that sense of, like, just trust what you're doing if you're really open to your curiosity, and that's going to take you into a really unique and authentic self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
There was a quote that I read the other day that, what you're talking about right now just reminds me of it, because I was doing some writing out at a cottage and I was kind of, like, looking for some inspiration, and Amy Poehler.
While you're looking that up, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts on my drive, and mm-hmm. I listened to the entire Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast series.
Fucking love that show.
And he's talking to Tina Fey, who's fucking amazing. And Tina Fey quotes Amy Poehler as saying, "Movies are boring and acting is embarrassing." And I just thought that was really, really funny, because she's also a filmmaker.
That's amazing.
And an actor. And I wholeheartedly agree. I wholeheartedly agree that acting, it is embarrassing.
You attract the right things when you have a sense of who you are.
Mm. That's
I like
nice.
That. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, when you are, you like, when that. When you find a way to, like, just live as authentically as fucking humanly possible, you just tend to find your way into the things that make sense for you. And I think there's, like, a lot of riches to be gained from that. Not necessarily financial riches, but mm-hmm. like life riches.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. It's interesting that this is coming up right now.
And just the way you say it seems like probably very oversimplified. But it takes a lot of work.
Oh, fuck
to know yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, a lot of internal introspective types of work.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and I think it's very easy to push away those parts of yourself, like, out of fear of not being understood or the thing that I'm sure lots of people have felt of, like, trying to be something that you're not for the sake of, you know, your parents or for the sake of society or whatever, like, you know, coming out of high school and feeling like, oh, I guess I got to go to university now and become an engineer because that's the way you make, like, pay the bills. But instead, yeah. you know, actually digging deep and finding the things that actually truly speak to you and then utilizing that to find your path, find your way.
Speaking of which, what's your relationship like with, you said your parents weren't thrilled about the idea of you taking a gap year after high school. So what do they think about what you're doing right now with everything?
They're highly confused.
They're First, she gets PID, then she fucking moves to LA to write.
Yeah, I mean, the trajectory of. I left home when I was 17. And the trajectory of my life from 17 to now has been so all over the place. And they're very, like, linear people.
Yeah.
And I used to spend a lot of time trying to convince them that, like, I had a plan, I had a strategy, and, like, this is what I was going to do, but that never happened. So now I'm kind of, I mean, I just saw them for the holidays. They were like, so you're graduating in May, like, what's next? I was like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't have a plan. I'm going to see what happens and where life takes me. And I'm, like, looking at these different things, but who knows? I'm like, okay.
Yeah. 3 months. That's 3 months sure. away. What do you mean? I don't know. I have a lot, you know, to process and, like, develop in the next 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting how I've been trying to lean more and more into my sort of non-linear nature. And I feel like it's actually worked out quite well and been pretty expansive for me in the past, like, year or so. But it's interesting to have the reflection of, like, very linear parents and very linear kind of family dynamics.
What's that mean, leaning into your non-linearness?
For me personally, it's allowing myself to follow my curiosities and my impulses and not trying to strategize so much. Because I think in the past I was always trying to find, like, okay, so I'm doing this now, so what's that going to mean later? And then what's that going to mean after that? Mm. Whereas now I'm trying to, like, more so immerse myself, like, where I am, and just being open to different possibilities and not trying to, I mean, really just not trying to plan so much and let things be a bit more spontaneous.
I think sometimes when we have a plan, we can be that linear focus, that tunnel vision, and be oblivious to the, like, thousands of opportunities presenting themselves every day.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on another thing that you kind of mentioned about potentially bringing up, and something that I find very interesting always, is living a year of unintentional celibacy, year-ish of unintentional celibacy. Tell us about that.
Yeah. It was, like, it was half intentional and half unintentional.
Right.
I went through a really kind of major breakup about 2 years ago. And as that relationship was falling apart, all these different aspects of my life were kind of shifting. And I realized how much my identity was, like, wrapped up in this person and our relationship, and then how much my identity was wrapped up in relationships and sex and sexuality in general. So maybe about, like, 6-ish months after the breakup, I made a little rule for myself that I just wasn't going to sleep with anyone until I'd been dating them for, like, over a month, which was not my pattern in the past. Mm-hmm. And that just naturally turned into me dating less. And at first it was sort of like I wanted to get really clear on who I was without sex being, like, the connector, if that makes sense. And then I was also interested in like taking a little bit of a break from dating because I was kind of looking into my different like kind of codependent tendencies in my past relationships. And I had never really had, I'd never been single for more than like 2 months. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like made this little pact with myself, and then it just turned into like all of a sudden it had been like 10-ish months since I had slept with anyone, and I like dated a little bit but spent a lot of time alone.
Was it like a fruitful endeavor?
It was.
Yeah.
It really was. More so just realizing how it was kind of like I was so used to being wrapped up in a relationship, whether it's like in a committed partnership or not, or even just dating someone, that kind of almost like taking that out of the equation and not dating so much and then also not sleeping with people, it was really fascinating to explore like my own identity to my own sexuality and how I was interested in pursuing relationships, having like space from that. Because I'd never done that before.
Mm.
So it ended... I mean, I didn't intend for it to be, like, a year.
Right.
And I really didn't think that was going to happen.
Did you get, like... Because I'm... Okay, so I'm hearing you say this, and I'm like... And I'm in a position right now where, like, Bridie's away for 5 months. Becca's mm-hmm. gone away for a year. I'm like... I very well could fall into that same territory.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about that, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I think I just start like, I'd just be a fucking total mess. And like, I'd be so horny that I'm just like, I gotta step into the cafe bathroom to, you know, tug one out. I'd hate myself. I don't know what would happen. I'd implode or something. Was there any part of you that was like, did you just
imploding?
Get, yeah. Like, did you just get like, did your, we were talking about libido yesterday, but like, did your libido kind of wane, or did you find moments of like just being super like, oh my God, I feel like I need to satiate this part of me,
yeah.
but I'm gonna resist it.
So that was like the most interesting thing was that, like there were only a couple people that I got close to having sex with,
right.
But in the spaces in between those people, when I like wasn't dating or I was literally just spending so much time like with myself and with my friends, it's like my libido just sort of disappeared.
It's like out of sight, out of mind.
It was so bizarre. And I didn't think at all that was going to happen. But then as soon as I started like seeing someone new, then I was like very hyper aware of the fact that I hadn't had sex in a long time.
Right. Yeah.
Wait a second. So it kind of, there was this interesting like fluctuation where it sort of like flipped off and on that I didn't expect at all.
Hmm.
Yeah. Did you find, we had an interview, a conversation once with Andrea Bain. She has a podcast called Single Girl Problems. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about people who would like get annoyed on the first date when they found out that
she's not gonna
have sex with them.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, it was an interesting kind of like filtration system for people.
Right.
This is my filtration system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. And what kind of response did you get to that?
It was actually a pretty positive experience. I ended up dating people who were significantly older for me for whatever reason in that year. And everyone was like pretty respectful.
And willing to like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was interesting to see where... Like at what point... like they would kind of take me seriously for the first few dates or times we were hooking up, and then it was like, okay, but like, are you at, like, is this actually a thing? And I was like, no, this is actually a thing.
Yeah.
So that was
so funny. Interesting. How that boundary kind of gets like
gets blurry.
Like, okay, you have a boundary, but we'll see what we can do about that.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'm just you charming
wait,
enough.
Wait till you really get to know. Yeah.
And I mean, it was more so for myself and just to almost like see if I could do it and like how I could relate to people with sex off the table, which was really fascinating.
What was it like when you came back, when you stopped?
When you came back.
Yeah.
Came back alone.
Yeah. What was it like when you came back to the dark side?
I mean, great. It was great.
Like, were you, what's that thing that Amish kids get to do?
It's like a gap year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They basically, it's like you're an adult now. You get 1 year. Yeah. Yeah. It's a, yeah. When you turn 18 as an Amish kid,
you have the choice.
They basically go, all right, cool. So this is your, I forget the term, but there's a term for it where they go, you are now allowed for, it's like 1 month or something.
11-11. I love you.
I love you too. It's like 1 month where you can go do all the drugs you want. Drink as much alcohol as you want, have as much sex as you want, go like do all the things that you have not been allowed to do. And when you return, if you return to the family, you will not be able to
do Rumspringa.
Wow. And when you do Rumspringa, it's like they go fucking all out, get it all out of their system. And apparently like 9 times out of 10, once they've done it, they come back and they go, not for me.
Wow.
Not my thing. What did you go through a little bit of a Rumspringa when he came back? Like, were you just like, I'm fucking everything?
I actually didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of, that's sort of what I expected.
Yeah.
Because this year just sort of happened. And then I don't know, but that wasn't, it's like, it really kind of shifted something in how I relate to other people. And I think a lot of it for me was, my last breakup was sort of traumatizing in different ways, and I needed to feel a sense of like safety with the person that I was connecting with. Mm. So taking sex off the table was like establishing, I don't know, a different level of,
yeah,
it was a different level of like trust at the time. But I think something in me shifted and I just view sex differently than I did before.
Cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Did it have any effect on the creative side of things? From a writing perspective or a photography perspective?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm having sex with people, I write about sex more.
You That's write like during the clear. During the sex. You're during. Like, yeah,
yeah. I'm like, just like hold one on. Hand on your notepad. Yeah, right. Me too. That'd be so funny.
It definitely changes. Like, it shifts something. I'm not like super consciously aware of like what the difference is. But I mean, spending the better part of a year not having sex and pretty like single, a lot of my writing was more focused, like introspectively.
Mm.
Than on my like relationships with the world, because I was just in less relationship.
Right.
Mm. If that makes sense. And spending more time alone.
Right.
So that was really interesting.
I feel like a lot of us millennials could really benefit from a year of intentional celibacy, because it's so much a part of the way we were brought up, like sex sells. This is like, you know, part of the trajectory of your life is like you get a boyfriend, you get married, mm-hmm. you have a baby, like you have this, like, you know, you have these trajectories that were set out for us. And I think a lot of people listening to it, my guess is this, listening to this are probably looking at their own, maybe, boundaries when it comes to sexuality. Like, I think a lot of women are more likely to just be like, yeah, I mean, I'll have sex now if that's what's happening, when if they were able to take some time and be like, is this actually something that I'm into, that I want to do, or whatever? Because it's almost so casual now that it's like, it's really just a way of saying like, hey, how you doing, you know, and like nothing necessarily deeper than that.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of us developed our identities around like, who's paying attention to me? Mm. Like, what kind of attention am I getting? How, you know, I can maybe get this person to like me if I'm like, if I go there, if I go into this like more sexual side of myself. And yeah, and like, it's like that is so loud and proud and out there that there's a certain sort of like quietness and introspective that we could all benefit from.
Totally.
So Jeremy, I think you should just commit to a year of celibacy.
Absolutely not. No.
He's got some work to do on himself. There. He's just denying his own internal work.
Well, I just no. Fuck you. No. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't want to.
Okay, it guys.
It's not like you have to go live in a cave and wear robes and things.
Although I was making a joke to my friend at one point where I was like, I think I'm just going to go live in a cave now.
And wear robes. Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, I'm in the opposite side of things where I have like, I actually want to explore what it feels like to be single for the first time since we got married.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because, even before that, right? Because you weren't...
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, fuck. Like, since grade 10.
Yeah.
Isn't that so wild, though?
Yeah.
Like, I had started dating when I was, like, 15, yeah. Whatever that means. Mm-hmm. But I had never... And even in my, like, 2 or 3 months of being single in between relationships, it's like there was always someone there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've really it's never crazy. Had that. Yeah. And so now it's like I have a year to kind of do that.
There was that summer, like, after we both broke up with our significant others and like you went home to Nova Scotia and I stayed in Toronto, where there was like 4 months where we weren't a couple.
Yeah.
We were like seeing other people. Mm-hmm. But like you said, he was kind of there. Like he was kind of like I knew he was coming back, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was probably going to be a thing.
You know, I was coming back, but you had intentions of
never
keeping it going. Whereas I was like, no, I'm going to put a ring on that finger. Make sure that sticks around. I kind of want to explore what it's like. What is that like? Because it's all right. So Becca's gone, right? And like, you know, talking about how codependent you become on people. It's like my time with Becca is very. We spend a lot of time together, and now we're not going to have that time together. And so, I think it's going to be really great for my work. You know, because I...
Does Becca really get in your way when it comes to getting your work done?
A little bit, honestly. Yeah. Yeah, like a little bit. Because yeah. I just lean into the comfort of...
It's easy.
It's easy. It's like it's a good way to distract myself from work, mm-hmm. where I don't have that now, right? Mm-hmm. And so to try to find a balance between my work, but also like a dating life, I've never had that.
A dating life where you're not looking for a significant other. Like you're not looking, or are you looking for a long-term partner?
I'm not saying I am or I'm not.
Right.
I have no idea. Right. I'm open to like following whatever the possibilities might be. Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
But I'm not seeking that. I'm not like actively seeking that. Mm. Anyway.
Cool.
Anyway, I'm not being celibate for a year. One other thing that I'm actually really curious about is the difference between dating in Toronto versus dating in, you know, Venice.
La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Do you date many actors?
Yeah. How many headshots? How many headshots do they bring to dates?
Oh my God. I actually have dated no actors.
Okay.
Wow.
I've dated people who have acted, mm-hmm. but no active actors.
It's because you're in Venice. I feel like if you're up this way.
Yeah, Venice is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I've dated people all over the city. It's fascinating here, though. It's a very different world. And LA is just such a bubble. Mm. And I mean, even like have you guys heard of Raya? It's a dating app here.
Raya.
Is that the like exclusive
it's like the
one?
Exclusive.
Yeah. But don't you need to be like a celebrity to be on there?
Kind of, like, yes, but no. Like, I know a lot of people who are on it who aren't famous.
How famous do you need to be?
How many Instagram followers do you have to have?
I really think it's Instagram follower based because I know people.
Oh, I'm downloading it right now. I've got, if it's Instagram, I mean,
I know I a lot of people many. Who are on it who, just have a lot of Instagram followers, but then I know people who were denied for whatever reason. And then also a lot of it is like you have to get someone to refer you.
Okay.
So that's a funny
So that thing. Is that the dating app you're on?
I'm not on Raya. No, I don't think I could get it. I've actually never used a dating app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is interesting.
How do you meet people?
How do I meet people? They just appear in the world.
Do they just approach you in coffee shops and things like that?
Literally,
yes. Yeah. That always fascinates me. That's never happened to me.
Yeah. Oh, cool. But yeah, LA, I mean, there's a lot of like Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah.
So.
What is Peter Pan syndrome?
Like, you don't want to grow up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to be a boy forever.
Be a boy forever. Yeah. Exactly. So there's been a lot of that and dealing with that. And then it's also kind of a very like transient city. Mm. So, I mean, my last relationship is with someone who lives here and is still here. But I mean, there's just more people who are in the entertainment industry and doing different things that take them in different places. And it's almost like there's so much choice here, even in the fact that there's so many fucking people who live here. It's crazy.
There's a lot of people that live in this city.
It's a huge city. You can drive an hour and still be in the same city. It's crazy.
So just those, I think they kind of affect dating versus Toronto, which is a lot smaller and feels more like normal.
Canadian. Yeah, it's a very Canadian.
Yeah, more Canadian.
In terms of like what people are doing and what people are looking for, and people are generally like living there and grounded, whereas here it's a bit more like floaty all over the place, and like I'm 40 years old but still not looking for anything serious. You know? So...
That's not where you're at right now either. I assume, like in your quest of of complete fulfilled self expression, doesn't sound like it's necessarily on your like top priority list to find a life partner to walk the life with you. But I could be. Maybe I'm assuming that.
Yeah, I mean, relationship is so important to me that I'm always kind of, I mean, I'm always like wanting, I feel like it's been a source of stability for me. And I'm always wanting that like structure and stability while still wanting like a shit ton of freedom to like live my own life and do my own thing and explore what I want to explore.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Do you think that's so, like a new... like we as women kind of coming out of this time when, you know, a lot of our status had to do with like, I'm married or, you know, like betrothed or whatever. And now it's like, well, I still want that. Like you said, like the structure and the groundedness, but I also want to be able to do whatever I want because maybe not I personally, but I and the generations of women before me have been like, oppressed for so long that I just basically I want to be able to do everything.
Yeah.
Just what do you
I mean it's kind of like that? Wanting it all, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I want the life partner, but I also want the free, like I mean I've had so much freedom being single for like 2-ish years now.
Yeah.
It's like I want
I think that exists though.
Totally. I think so too.
I don't think it's like an unattainable
I don't think you know, so at all.
Yeah.
But it's like...
Because there's other people out there that feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Partners.
Yeah.
Well, like you and I kind of have that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a real treat. And for our first guest here in L.A.
Oh my gosh, I'm your first L.A. guest.
You're our first L.A. guest. Wow. We recorded an episode last night, just the two of us. But you're our first sit-down guest, which has been such a pleasure.
So nice.
And yeah, I want to say thanks for taking the time out of your day to come hang out with us in our lovely E1 recording studio here in, where are we? Fairfax?
I think it's
Fairfax.
This is Fairfax. Yeah. There we go, yeah. Our old stomping ground where we spent a bunch of time.
When they called it the Fuller House, I was like, oh my God. It's like the sequel to the Full House.
Is the Full House the Fuller House?
I think that's what it's called on Netflix.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. Fuller House.
Yeah.
Not that's Fuller House. Funny. Not like this Fuller. It's like Fuller House. Full it's House, more full. Fuller. It's more full. Yeah.
But it's not
yeah,
that house.
So thank you for,
thank
for
you guys.
Coming to hang out. Thank you again, E1, for letting us use the recording studio here. And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next week with another episode, another conversation from
another
LA
special, mm-hmm. LA exclusive.
Yep. And in the meantime, go over to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and a review and smash the subscribe button. All those things are important. And go to patreon.com/turnmeon if you want to hear some fun exclusive shit like Bridie reading her diary at 4 years old, talking about banging boys in the back of the bus.
Wow. Definitely wasn't doing that.
I don't know, man. You said some stuff that I was like, Jesus, who is this girl's parents? there's a bunch of other fun stuff over there. So patreon.com/turnmeon if you want to see more and support the podcast with your wallet.
If you like what you hear, you can reach out to us on Instagram, Turn Me On Podcast, or on our website, turnmeonpodcast.com. There's submission forms there if you want to be a guest on the show, or if you have a question or a query or you'd like some advice, you can also email us at turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com.
That is it for this week.
Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.